You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness, get wrecked, just quitting balls of fire.
If Great Balls of Fire the movie were for even a single moment as exhilarating as Great Balls of Fire the Jerry Lee Lewis song, one wouldn't feel so much like stomping on it. Lewis's life, 18 months of which this movie pretends to depict, has been a string of unimaginable disasters, miscalculations, and tragedies. It's the kind of life of which people say, if it were a movie, you wouldn't believe it. They're right. In fact, extraordinary lives are terribly difficult to transform into extraordinary art, because they force the artist to make truly peculiar events feel universal. Jerry Lee Lewis's marriage to his 13-year-old cousin, Myra, which incidentally lasted for some 14 years, would require the skills of a Nabokov to navigate. Instead, director Jim McBride and his inept co-writer Jack Baron treat the whole thing as a smirking 50s joke. And God knows we've seen our share of smirking 50s jokes. Dennis Quaid gives his first truly bad performance. But bad doesn't begin to describe his strutting, grimacing, wildly actorish rendition of the killer. Jerry Lee himself recently told me he hoped the movie would kick off a whole new career for him. He'll be lucky if it doesn't bury him once and for all. A lot more fun is to be had at Lethal Weapon 2, although, let's face it, this is fun of the mindless variety. The new Lethal Weapon isn't as grim and scary as its predecessor, and it isn't as coherent either. Like Ghostbusters 2, it relies exclusively on the charms of its stars, Mel Gibson and Danny Glover, and also on little Joe Pesci as the witness they've been ordered to protect. Most of the movie is devoted to mild horsing around between car chases and gunfights, and the fun of it is more in the timing than in the wit.
Who is it?
Police, open up.
How do I know it's the police?
After I shoot you through the door, you can examine the bullet. Open up. That was easy. Don't you want to see a badge? Don't do that again.
Okay, let me see a badge.
Shut up.
Okay, I get it. Bad cop, good cop.
Shut up.
Okay. Bad cop. I got it. I know all those routines.
You Leo Getz?
Yes, sir. That's me, Leo Getz. Whatever you need, Leo Getz. You get it?
You have to like these stars a lot to take very much of that sort of thing. And I do. What I find harder to take is the endless stream of action movie cliches, including the famous one that goes, if you can't find any other way to foil the bad guys, throw all their money in the air. Lethal Weapon 2, in short, is an agreeable enough time killer. But if you're of the opinion that time is in short supply, and certainly not deserving of capital punishment, you might want to spend yours on watching the surprise hit of the summer, a movie called Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. This is basically The Incredible Shrinking Man, only with suburban youngsters. They spend the movie making their way across a summer lawn that is instantly transformed into a jungle of beautifully imagined perils. The mad scientist who's caused it all is played by Rick Moranis in his second funny performance of the month after Ghostbusters 2. And the dialogue and atmosphere have the buoyancy that Steven Spielberg productions always seem to find in the suburbs. One more thing. The movie is playing with a new Roger Rabbit cartoon called Tummy Trouble, which has more thrills and laughs than a dozen Lethal Weapons. It may be 5 minutes long, but so far, Tummy Trouble gets my vote for the best movie of the summer.